Welcome or welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's episode is going to be about what happens when you gain weight in anorexia recovery, but you don't find that your mental state is improving very much. This can be really difficult, but it's also really common, and there are ways to improve the situation, which is what I'm going to be talking about in today's episode. So I hope you enjoy. I do want to give a bit of a disclaimer and a trigger warning for this episode. So obviously, I'm not a medical professional. Don't take anything I say as medical advice. And I always advise that you do go and speak to your doctor if you're struggling with an eating disorder. And trigger warning, I suppose, I am going to be talking about weight gain and like the negative mental state that people can have during anorexia recovery. And I'm also going to be discussing some typical eating disorder thoughts and behaviours, although I won't go into much detail and I'm not going to be saying anything that is, I don't know, like obviously triggering. But you know, if you are sensitive to this kind of topic, then don't listen to this episode. But hopefully there are other ones out there that you can listen to instead. Okay, let's just get right into the episode. So I actually have got quite a few questions on this in the past. Basically, people asking what they don't know what to do, right? They don't know what to do because they might have gained weight in anorexia recovery. They might even be weight restored fully, or maybe they've just gained some weight, but they don't feel like their mental state is improving much, or it's at least not improving at the same rate as their physical health is, if you know what I mean. And I think this is really, really common. Obviously, recovery, there are different types of recovery, like physical recovery, mental recovery, like social recovery and like that, all that. So it makes sense that they don't all happen at the same speed, but at the same time, that's really annoying, right? When you're in recovery and you feel like one part of your life is improving, but the rest isn't. And it might make you feel like gaining weight and getting physically healthier isn't really worth it if your mental state isn't improving as well. I know that I definitely felt that way. At the beginning of recovery, when I found that I was weight restoring reasonably quickly at some points, but then my mental health would really not be improving much, and my just general cognition, like eating disorder thoughts and beliefs and behaviours as well, like they weren't really improving very, very quickly at some points. And I know that this was really frustrating, and it definitely made me feel like, well, what's the point sort of thing. So if you are feeling that way and going through this right now, you're definitely not alone. Yeah, I've got quite a few questions on this. I think people have specifically asked what to do when they feel stuck in recovery. People mention that a lot, feeling stuck, basically when they don't feel like they're making any progress mentally, like their thoughts and behaviours aren't really changing, and they seem to be stuck in these same destructive thought patterns and loops and cycles and stuff. But the downside of this, right, is that they are being quite uncomfortable in their body because they aren't outright relapsing. They're not seeking to lose weight and fully engage with their disorder, but at the same time, they're not really making much progress recovery-wise, at least not mentally. Another reason why this can happen is just because when you are malnourished and when you have been through literal starvation, your body is kind of primed to gain weight. Like, all of its systems and functions are, they're sort of designed to bring you back to equilibrium as fast as possible. So your metabolism will downregulate, your hunger cues will increase. A lot of people do experience extreme hunger. And even if you don't experience extreme hunger and your hunger cues haven't returned, you might be on a meal plan that's encouraging you to eat high intake, which is good, which is a really good thing. But this might be causing you to gain weight faster than you're comfortable with, or you never know, you might have gone through the entire slow, long physical recovery process, but you weren't given adequate therapy and you didn't really know how to sort out the mental side of things. So you're kind of left with a technically healthy body, but your mind really is just as bad as it was when you were in the depths of your eating disorder. And obviously this is not fun, right? This is not a nice position to be in. Is very uncomfortable, and it can be really difficult emotionally. So I do want to give some tips on how you can improve this. My first tip is literally just to be patient and try not to worry about this. I feel like people overanalyze their own recovery process and they actually beat themselves up if they're not doing things quote unquote right. So just because you see other people perhaps in recovery who have made significant progress mentally and they're still in this really underweight body, or perhaps you see these like recovery influencer people online who still seem to be very underweight, but they don't seem to be suffering in any way. Like they are able to go out with their friends, eat socially, eat all their fear foods. They seem really happy, but they're still really underweight. And I mean, it's a bit jarring. Like those two things, they are a bit at odds. And I just want to remind you that don't compare your recovery to other people. If you're the type of person who has restored weight very quickly, but is still struggling a lot with their mental health, don't compare yourself to people who perhaps have done the opposite. Or you never know, they might not really be doing as good mentally. They might just be portraying that online, which is, it's not a nice trap to fall into, but it's very common. So that's my first tip, is honestly, don't worry about it. Just be patient and allow yourself to recover and allow it to be difficult at times. And just, yeah, give yourself that time because there's no rush. And yes, obviously, you don't want to be feeling negative. You don't want to have to be stuck in a state of like quasi-recovery, or you don't want to really be stuck in, yeah, like negative thought patterns while being weight restored. I know it's not fun, but at the same time, sometimes recovery process is a bit messy. It's not really perfect, and you might end up with different parts of your recovery going at different speeds. And I think that it's normal. It's very common. So that's my first tip, is honestly just go easy on yourself, be quite compassionate and be like, look, I know that I haven't made as much progress as I wanted to mentally, and it's actually really difficult for me to be in this healthier body right now when my mind doesn't seem to match up to that. But, you know, sometimes life doesn't go my way and it's okay. I'm recovering from a very, very severe and debilitating illness, and it's all right if it isn't perfect right now. I think that's my first tip. My second tip would be, you know, becoming physically healthier is obviously quite terrifying for the disordered side of your brain. However, for your, you know, your true self, your happy self, your healthy self, who's still in there, by the way, that part of you needs to use this to your advantage. I think that's what really kind of kick-started me into realizing that I could, yeah, take this as almost as a positive, flip it on its head. Of course, my eating disorder hated the fact that I was looking healthier, looking, you know, bigger. But at the same time, I think the rational part of me knew that this was actually a really, really useful thing when it comes to rewiring, right? Because if you think about it, when you are mentally recovering from anorexia or any kind of eating disorder, you need to literally rewire, recalibrate your neural networks. So your belief systems, your habit systems, these are all made up of literal like neurons firing across your brain, right? So when you are undoing these beliefs and quitting these behaviors, breaking these habits, you are changing the physiology of your brain, right? That takes fuel, that takes energy, and it also takes nutrients that you are intaking, right? So when you are really underweight, the food you are eating, it's going to be limited where it can actually be effective. So, you know, your body's going to conserve as much energy as possible. It's not really going to have the resources to spare to, you know, properly rewire your brain and help you with your like mental functioning. So I think having that nutrition and becoming a bit healthier physically is going to help you so much when it comes to recovering mentally, literally just because of the physical input of energy and nutrients and like molecules, right? So like the fat molecules that you eat via food are being used to build these neurotransmitters, which are going to directly influence your beliefs and your thoughts. And when you're trying to break thoughts and behaviors and overcome fears and build new beliefs, you need to give your body and your brain the building blocks, which is food. So yes, it might feel really difficult to be looking healthier or to be, you know, physically in a better space when you're actually not really doing any different mentally. And I will get onto that because I know that's a real thing. But I think part of you needs to realize that this is an advantage You need to use it to your advantage and realize that better cognitive functioning comes out of this. And ultimately, that's going to really, really benefit you and your recovery, right? So you're trying to recover, you're trying to rewire your beliefs. And now you are in a marginally, you know, better place, because if you're physically healthier, that has a small impact on the functioning of your brain. Probably not even that small, right? So try and see the positives, you know, silver linings. Be like, yes, okay, I might not like how I feel in my body, how I look in my body, but I can at least be grateful and be kind of relieved that my brain is having a helping hand here when it comes to rewiring, because it is extremely, extremely difficult to think rationally when you're underweight, to, you know, have like linear thoughts, thoughts that don't just jump about. You know, the mental gymnastics that comes with anorexia is insane. So have a bit of relief and gratitude to the fact that you are now in a slightly better place physically, which is going to make the entire neural rewiring process a lot easier, which is literally key to full recovery. Okay, now my third tip is basically, is kind of understanding why you might be in this position, why you might still be stuck in eating disorder, thought patterns and belief systems and all of that, like the entire mindset and just experience of having anorexia might still be really, really similar for you right now, even though physically you might be really different and you might actually be doing quite well with food. It's just the mental side of things is really difficult still. And this can happen obviously for a number of reasons, but it's really, really common for this to happen because you might still be, you know, accidentally or maybe not accidentally reinforcing eating disorder beliefs. So how this works, I'm going to try and explain this, but I think people kind of understand this already. It's quite common knowledge now, but I'm going to explain it anyway. Basically, what happens is your brain kind of watches your actions. It sounds a bit weird, and I'm probably not the best person to explain this, but I'm going to try. So if you imagine it, like your human body is like one side of you, and then your brain is another side of you. So your brain is like watching your everyday actions, and then from those actions, it will, you know, confirm beliefs, or it might challenge beliefs. It's forming your thoughts and beliefs by watching your actions. So when it comes to eating disorder, if your brain watches you consistently go about avoiding high calorie foods, burning off calories, exercising, looking in the mirror, being mean to yourself, weighing yourself constantly, acting as if you are someone who is deathly afraid of food, right? Which is what many of us do when we're stuck with anorexia. Your brain can't help but observe all of that and be like, oh shit, okay, well, they're obviously scared of food because they're doing all these extreme measures to avoid it. Oh, well, that means that food is dangerous. That means that gaining weight is dangerous. So it forms all these beliefs based on your actions. And you can't help this. So if you continue to do an action, your brain kind of has to interpret that, if that makes sense. So your brain is consistently watching you, which means that every single thing you do is either going to reinforce an eating disorder belief and continue to strengthen that neural pathway, or it's going to undermine it and challenge your belief and challenge your eating disorder. So the more times you eat your fear food, each time you do it, your brain watches you do that, and it kind of chips away at that belief that your brain has formed over time, that the food is so scary and must be avoided and must be terrible and all of that. That's why your fear will gradually decrease over time. And if you do the action enough times, the fear will completely go, because your brain has now learned, oh, okay, well, clearly they keep doing this thing and nothing bad happens, so therefore it's fine, right? So that's how that kind of thing works. So when you're trying to do rewiring in recovery, you need to make sure that you're stopping every action in your day-to-day life that reinforces eating disorder beliefs, and this can be really small. So it might just be that you are choosing lower calorie options, if there are one, or it might be that you are, you know, consistently checking the calories of something, and even if you want to eat it, but you check the calories and it's not the right number for you and you don't eat it, your brain observes that, and it all it's doing is it's contributing to this big belief system network of, you know, it's contributing to your eating disorder belief system, like neural network. So the more times you do things that reinforce it, the harder it will be to challenge it. So even if you go your whole day and you eat your meals, eat your snacks, and you challenge your fear food, right? But at the same time, you're also consistently exercising or consistently choosing lower calorie options, or you know, maybe you're still weighing yourself and having emotional reactions when you see higher weights. Your brain is watching all of this happen, and it's going to be very difficult for it to, you know, ditch these old eating disorder belief systems and try and embrace like healthier ones that are going to actually benefit you, if you are consistently reinforcing eating disorder beliefs, if that makes sense. So I think that, yeah, if you are feeling stuck and you're not really making much mental progress, I really think you should take a look at your general day-to-day actions that might still be fueling your eating disorder in some way, even if it's not having a direct impact on your weight, because that's really important. Like, you can do a million different eating disorder behaviours a day and none of them can actually impact your weight, right? So, you know, I think that's something to think about if you are in this position right now. For example, when I felt this way, I noticed that if I actually thought about it, I was still doing like 90% of my eating disorder behaviours. I just wasn't restricting my calorie intake to the extent that I was going to be underweight, if you know what I mean. Like, the rest of everything I was doing was still pretty much the same as it was when I was, you know, really struggling with my anorexia. The only difference was that I was actually eating enough. So once I actually like really targeted the specific behaviours that I was doing every day, and really made an effort to stop them, even if I didn't really think it would work at the time, I remember thinking, well, it's not really that big a deal, I don't really know why I need to stop eating with this little spoon or whatever. But now that I think about it, I think all of the little things you do kind of contribute to the overall bigger picture, and each little action and each little step you take will either take you closer to recovery or to the eating disorder. And if you're doing two kind of opposing things at once, if you're doing recovery actions and eating disorder actions, you can't really be surprised if you feel a bit stuck and you aren't really seeing much progress, because you're kind of undermining progress, if you know what I mean. So yeah, that's just something to think about. Now, my fourth tip is kind of a big one. I'm not going to go into it too much because I think I'm going to have to do like whole podcast episodes on this, because it's such a big topic, but it's basically letting go of the eating disorder identity. Obviously, yeah, like I said, this is such a big topic, I probably can't really go into it all now, and it's not as easy as just deciding you don't want to have an eating disorder anymore. But as I say that, it kind of is. It's almost like giving yourself mental permission to change your direction of travel, to change your focus, to change your like expectations that you set yourself. So when you have anorexia, you have this whole system of goals and beliefs, and you know, you have an entire perception of what you view as successful, as what you view as good and okay and safe. And when you let go of this eating disorder identity, you also end up letting go of these expectations that anorexia puts on you. So you no longer have to view losing weight as successful and gaining weight as being a failure. You no longer have to compete. You no longer have to, you don't have to hold yourself to these ridiculously sort of, I don't know, just really weird standards that anorexia holds for you. Like, it's bad if you eat XYZ, and it's good if you eat this, and it's bad if you do that. When you ditch the whole identity of being anorexic or having anorexia, it makes this whole process a million times easier, because, I don't know, a lot of the whole, I'm not sick enough, or, oh, I need to do this because people won't think I've got anorexia if I eat this, and, oh, I've got to do this, that, and the other, all of that kind of goes away because you don't really care anymore. Obviously, this is way easier said than done, and I will make a whole episode on how to actually do this, like practical tips and stuff, because it is a kind of a, it's a very difficult thing to put into practice. In theory, it sounds great, yeah, like, oh yeah, I'm not anorexic anymore. But I know that when I was doing that, it wasn't as easy as that. However, it's not impossible, and it's something that you could definitely have as a goal, right? So letting go of this identity of being anorexic is really, really important. And once you do it, it makes a lot of other things easier. So, yeah, I will make a whole episode on this, but, you know, maybe a tip could be for you to shift your focus away from certain things that really tie you to this anorexic identity. So for you, that might be body checking. You might be body checking all the time, and you might have the real fixation on keeping your body, you know, on like checking it. It's just a really common behavior, isn't it? So I think maybe take the focus away from your body for a bit, maybe get off social media if that's also fueling this sort of identification with your illness. I know that being even in a recovery sort of communities and stuff like that, it can keep you tied to this identity of being an eating disordered person. So I think making some steps to get away from that in general could actually help you if you are feeling a bit stuck in your recovery and you might have, yeah, like gained some weight, but you're still feeling mentally very much in the anorexic sort of mindset and stuff. I think making some steps to let go of this as an identity is really important. I made an Instagram post on how you can like rebuild your identity after anorexia. That could also be a good idea. So think about some things that you value in yourself and others and start trying to base your life around those values rather than your eating disorder's values. And you can like, I remember I did a quiz, right? An online quiz. I can't remember what it's called, but just Google like, how do I find my values quiz or something. I'm pretty sure I Googled that. And like, you know, like honesty or spontaneity or like humor or all these kind of things like values. So think about your best friend. What do you like about them? You know, think about your younger self. What did your younger self value? Like, because your eating disorder probably values like isolation, you know, weight loss, you know, having an empty stomach, all that kind of stuff. Whereas do you actually value those things? Probably not. That's your eating disorder. That's your anorexic identity. What you want to do is you want to shift that focus and build a new identity, or at least start the process, because obviously it's a slow thing and there's not really a timeline on this. Like, you don't have to pressure yourself to become this whole new person. All you have to do is make those steps to let go and transition into an identity that doesn't hold you and doesn't tie you down to all the things that anorexia entails. Okay, so my fifth tip is to figure out why you're stuck. Like, this can be quite different for everyone, which is why I think journaling is really helpful here. I will use myself as an example here, but I know that other people who have spoken to me and who have messaged me have done the same sort of thing and actually done the same journaling exercises that I've recommended and have found it really helpful when it comes to figuring out why they're stuck in this sort of, yeah, like quasi state of mentally still quite unwell but physically have improved. And I think, yeah, journaling and asking yourself the question of why am I still trapped, why am I still stuck, and then taking steps to actually address those needs in healthier ways is actually so, so helpful. So I'll explain how I did this, because I did this probably like in like the, so my early recovery, I did it at the end of my like early stage of recovery, and I think it's the thing that transitioned me into becoming a bit more willing to recover. Like, obviously I was willing to recover at the beginning, but I think once I did this, I felt a lot freer, and I felt like I had a lot of relief when it came to actually letting go of my eating disorder, because I felt a bit safer doing so, because I'd identified why I felt I needed it so much, and then actually come up with some alternatives, and the alternatives sort of, yeah, definitely like reassured me, like, okay, I understand that I thought I needed anorexia because of X, Y, and Z, but actually, you know, I could probably achieve the same results and have the same coping, you know, methods, but with different things. And that definitely made me feel a lot better when it came to, you know, progressing mentally with recovery and stopping certain behaviours. So what I did is I wrote down a list of all the reasons of why I felt that anorexia was helping me. It's almost like a pros and cons list, like the pros of anorexia. Obviously, there aren't any, like, rationally, and there aren't any if you take into account, you know, the bigger picture of life and health and happiness and all that. But, you know, when you are suffering with anorexia, there's often kind of reasons that are a bit deeper down that you might not realise. So for me, I remember I wrote down, I feel like I need anorexia because it's a way that I can signal to other people that I'm going through, you know, mental pain without actually having to communicate, because I found communicating really, really difficult. I really didn't know how to identify my feelings. I definitely didn't know how to talk about them. So for me, the really, really useful thing that came out of anorexia was the fact that people could just look at me and understand that something was terribly wrong without me having to actually talk to anyone. And once I realised that, and I realised that that was actually a big reason that I was so, so emotionally attached to my underweight body, is because of the feeling of safety that it gave me, that, you know, people could just look at it and be like, okay, well, she's obviously struggling, but, you know, I didn't feel like I needed to ask for help because I was just being given help. And I think once I thought, well, I don't want to lose that, right? That's what helped me realize that that's one of the reasons why I was still stuck. I also think I felt I needed it because it was a very powerful tool to numb my emotions. And like I've said before, I'm not very good with emotions and feelings. I've never have been one to be able to cope with them very well. And I think that I felt, at least at the time, that anorexia was helping me with that by numbing them out and sort of like blunt your emotions a bit. So those are just some examples from my experience, but everyone has different reasons why they cling to their eating disorder and maybe cling to being underweight if that's happened to you. So I think identifying them and writing them out on a list is really helpful, because then it goes on to the next step, which is basically to tackle this as a problem that has a solution. Because it definitely does have a solution, right? So now you've got your list of all the reasons that you think you need anorexia. What you can do is you can go through one by one and take a external perspective and come up with alternative solutions to these needs that need to be met. So I would go through each thing and I'd be like, okay, well, if I was advising a friend who wanted to express their emotions but didn't know how to communicate, what would I advise? Well, I certainly wouldn't advise being dangerously underweight. That's not a very good method of doing that because it has so many negative consequences, right? So you would go through each thing and think about it from an external point of view and come up with better ways of achieving the same results. And then you have this list of like alternative coping mechanisms, alternative strategies to losing weight, to, you know, engaging with anorexia. And I think that's really helpful because then you can start to implement them into your life. So for the communication one, for me, for example, I came up with the idea of, well, if I need to express my emotions but I find it really, really difficult to talk and I really need some support, why don't I write a letter instead? And I ended up doing that several times, and it's really helpful, and I still do it to this day. I text or I write a letter when I need help for something and I feel like I can't talk about it, or maybe I feel like people won't take it seriously. What helps me now is I just write a letter and I don't feel the need anymore to, you know, look unwell. I just don't feel the need, because even if tomorrow, right, all of my eating disorder thoughts and behaviors came back and I was struggling a lot with, you know, the mental aspect of anorexia again, I would still probably not feel the need to display being underweight in order to receive support. All I would do is I'd, you know, use the new method that I'd learned, which is writing a letter or just texting or just getting words out, even if it's not speaking it. So it really does work. There are alternative ways of achieving the results that you want, which, like, if you want to feel a certain way or if you want to cope with a situation, there are ways of doing that that don't involve engaging in anorexia, and it's about finding them. And it also, don't expect overnight results. So you might need to try 3 or 4 different methods before you find a particular coping skill that works as well as anorexia behaviours would work. But, you know, it's still worth trying, and it's still worth identifying the reasons you feel you need your eating disorder and then coming up with alternative ways of, you know, achieving the same results. So yeah, that's my 5th tip. And obviously when it comes to that, therapy is really helpful, or it can be helpful. But at the same time, it's not necessary when it comes to finding new coping skills, because there's so much information online now. And it's also about trial and error. So a therapist can't sit there and tell you what is going to work for you. They can only offer suggestions. You go out and try them and then you decide if they work or not. So, for example, if you are someone who feels you need anorexia because it's a way to manage negative body image and it's a way to, you know, feel accepted in the world, or perhaps you dealt with bullying in the past and you feel like the only way you can be accepted at school is if you are looking a certain way in your body, and maybe an alternative way of doing that is to improve your self-esteem. Maybe a way of doing that would be to, you know, have some hobbies that you really enjoy and you're really successful at. That could be a way of achieving the same end result, which is feeling good about yourself, feeling confident, but it doesn't involve micromanaging your intake and controlling your body and becoming unwell. So, but it's about trial and error, because there might be several ways of achieving the same result of feeling confident in yourself. Some of those might just be over time working on your self-talk and how your inner voice trying to get it to be less critical, which is completely possible, and I can do an episode on that as well, because that is something I've seen very, very tangible results in, of like my inner voice, my inner critic voice. I no longer have an inner critic. It doesn't really come up, which is really interesting, actually. I'd like to make an episode on that, because I feel like that was something I never would have imagined could be possible, like looking in the mirror and not having this sort of inner voice of just negativity. But yeah, so that leads on to my sixth tip, which is to take action steps and set goals. So this could be action steps towards finding alternative coping skills to meet the needs that you feel like anorexia meets. Replacing your anorexia behaviors with healthier ones, but you actually have to take the steps to do that. So that could literally just be brainstorming and experimenting with like new coping skills, new hobbies, new distractions and stuff like that. It could be taking an action step to deliberately increase your intake, or to deliberately choose scarier options more frequently in order to speed up that rewiring process. It could just be to challenge yourself more. So personally, I really like doing a challenge every day. I feel like that helps me, you know, have quite good momentum, and it becomes almost a habit. So the fear aspect definitely goes down, because you're just so used to having that daily challenge and challenging yourself every day that it doesn't really seem that big of a deal anymore. Obviously do this more times a day if you can, but any sort of goal that is orientated towards recovery is really, really useful when it comes to getting out of this sort of rut of mentally being, you know, not having made much progress. Is basically just to, you know, just take it, grab it with both hands and just steer the ship a bit. Like, challenge yourself more, have pride in your own recovery, like set yourself goals and accomplish them, and then be proud of yourself and have that sort of momentum and that motivation. Obviously it's easier said than done, especially if you're also struggling with other like mental health issues, but it's possible. And I think, yeah, baby steps, but just keep it going, keep it pushing. Like, it's about that direction of travel rather than your speed. So if for you really, really struggle coming out of structure and routine and stuff, then it might just be that you want to challenge yourself with one small thing every day, but make sure that you are doing that, and make sure that you are consistently doing things every day that scare you. Or you might be someone who is, you know, is quite headstrong and determined, and you just really want to like go all in and challenge everything all at once and just do this massive like war, right, on anorexia, and you just want to challenge all these beliefs and rules and behaviors and all of that, and you just want to really kind of put your foot down. And I think any kind of variation of a challenge is basically the most important thing, whatever that means to you. There is no such thing as doing too many challenges. There's no such thing as eating a fear food too soon. And there's also, you know, there's absolutely no shame if you need to have a bit more of a methodical approach. But I think just make sure that whatever you are doing, you are consistently challenging yourself, you know, preferably on a daily basis. I think that's what worked really well for me, is having something, even if it was something smaller some days that I was really quite, you know, really struggling with my emotions on some days, I would not force myself to do something super, super emotionally exhausting and challenging and draining, but I'd still have something. I'd still do something. I'd still eat a food I was uncomfortable with, or, you know, break a rule here and there and stuff like that. So basically, yeah, just keep that motivation going and keep the direction of travel pointing, you know, the right way, and take action steps, setting goals, and feeling proud of yourself when you achieve those goals. And all those things, they accumulate and they add up over time, and they chip away at that massive neural network of anorexia thoughts. Obviously, the faster, the better. But at the same time, just be nice to yourself and realise that it's hard work, and you will get there in the end. So, yeah. Okay. My final tip relates to the one about identity. Just as you have to let go of your anorexic identity, you have to actually make steps to fill the void, you know? Like, it's so difficult to let go of everything that your eating disorder gave you, all the behaviours, all the things that you seek, you know, to control and to bring you comfort, and all the things that really make up the foundations of your life. Like, when you have an eating disorder, your rituals, your rules, your behaviours, food, just food in general, exercise, all these like numbers, everything involved basically becomes your life. And ripping that away and kind of being left with nothing is really not very fun. So it's no wonder that people struggle to do that and struggle to let go of so many things that they probably need to let go of in order to actually mentally recover. Because people can, you know, force you to increase your intake, or you can honestly want to eat more and you can actually be doing quite well with the food side of things. You know, you might actually find it relatively no hassle. Like, you might find it easy enough to eat food and to gain weight, but you might find it really, really, really difficult to build an identity outside of having an eating disorder. You might find it really, really difficult to actually be kind to yourself and to stop hating your body and to stop trying to micromanage your body weights and stuff like that. So what you need to do is try and expand your life a bit and try and step outside of the eating disorder bubble and try and just do anything that brings you out of that headspace. And I know how difficult this is, because I still literally find this difficult to this day, not necessarily because I'm clinging to the identity of anorexia or anything like that, but just because I struggle with being overwhelmed quite easily. And I think that when you are, you know, very kind of vulnerable, and especially if you're early on in recovery and you're also dealing with the kind of physical and emotional problems that come with refeeding and gaining weight, it's basically just a very uncomfortable, very difficult time. And it's not uncommon that people kind of want to isolate, or they're just exhausted most of the time as well. Like, you don't want to go out and do all these crazy things sometimes. I mean, some people do and that's great, but it's about really, really small steps. So expanding your life and your identity and sort of venturing out into the real world a bit, it doesn't have to be scary, and it doesn't have to be, you know, completely a leap from what you're used to. It doesn't have to be a massive jump, and it doesn't have to be exhausting or difficult or anything like that. You don't have to go out clubbing every night. You don't have to go and get a job. You don't have to do any of the things that you aren't ready to do, but it's just about making headway and making those steps. So that could literally just be like reaching out to a friend, texting someone and talking about the weather instead of how bad you're struggling with your eating disorder. Or it can be steering conversations away from your eating disorder onto other topics. Or it can just be talking to other people who don't have eating disorders and just listening to them, letting them talk about their life. It could be watching TV shows that you haven't watched before and you're just interested in, or it could just be researching a topic that you're really interested in that has nothing to do with food or nothing to do with exercise or eating disorders. Maybe you pick up a new hobby, but it's like a low-key hobby that doesn't actually take much energy. Maybe it's literally, I don't know, maybe your hobby could be writing poetry, photography. It doesn't have to be particularly energetic or social or anything that you personally find draining. You don't have to do that yet, and you don't have to do anything that makes you uncomfortable. I know that people, especially with extreme hunger, and especially people with mental hunger in recovery, which is so, so common, it's actually that majority of people who are just super, super hungry the whole time, it's very difficult to actually take your focus away from food and onto other things. So I'm not saying you have to go and do anything that feels like it's almost restricting you from eating if you want to be eating, or if you want to just be resting because recovery is exhausting. Do all those things. I'm not saying don't do them. I'm just saying if your hobbies and your interests and everything about your life is still related to eating disorders, it might be an idea to actively participate in something that's completely separate. Even if it's, yeah, like something simple every day, just try and, yeah, expand that horizon a bit and try and poke out into the real world a little bit more. That could really help you. It definitely helped me. I know that I was reluctant to do this because I just felt exhausted and overwhelmed and anxious, and my mental health was horrible at some points. And also, for people out there with OCD, that's also another added element of complication with this topic. But like, for me, I know that breaking away from my eating disorder identity and trying to rebuild a life for myself just really included talking to my friends a bit more about, yeah, just normal stuff, talking to my family about normal stuff, getting outside a lot more, and not exercising. That really helped. Listening to podcasts that aren't to do with anything to do with eating disorders, watching documentaries, it was just stuff you enjoy, basically. Do more of it, and don't overwhelm yourself in the process, because that's probably not helpful. But yeah, whatever is good for you, whatever your level of like social battery and your energy levels are, do something that works for that, but try and get yourself to do something as often as you can that helps you break away and helps you sort of step into a new, more happy and like healthy identity. I hope that makes sense. I'm gonna end this episode here. If you want to hear me talk about a certain topic, or you have any questions or anything, send me an email. I'll put the link to that in the show notes, or send me a message on Instagram. I'll also put the link to that in the show notes. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate anyone who does. I hope this has been helpful. I know this is a really, really common, you know, struggle to have, that you, yeah, have gained weight or your weight restored or something, but you're not mentally where you want to be. I know it's also very invalidating sometimes that people around you might not notice this, might not understand this, because I know that so many people message me saying that their family members either don't support them anymore or sort of, it's just really difficult when people who don't really understand eating disorders particularly well will just assume that since you are physically in a better place, that mentally you must be fine, when obviously this isn't true. I think it's worth me reminding you of that, because sometimes you can almost invalidate yourself and think, well, you know, I'm obviously not allowed to be suffering still because I'm physically better. But this just isn't true, because if you look at someone with another severe mental disorder like schizophrenia or OCD or depression or something, you wouldn't really equate how their body looks to how their mental state is. You would just take it at face value. You wouldn't like question them, and you wouldn't think, well, I don't believe them because they don't look physically unwell. See, it doesn't really make any sense. But the same absolutely applies to eating disorders. So, and it is really, really common that your mental recovery takes a little bit longer than your physical recovery. And I think just hang in there, because, you know, you will get there in the end and things will start to improve. It's just about baby steps, trying new things each day and just pushing yourself a little bit more, and being really, really kind to yourself throughout the whole process. And I think that if you don't know where to start, I think the journaling exercise of figuring out what your eating disorder gives you and then coming up with alternatives is quite a good place to start. It's like brainstorming a bit almost, and then maybe writing down some recovery goals, keeping them quite small and quite easy, so that, you know, you feel like a bit motivated as you keep ticking them off. I think both of those are quite like good actionable steps that you can probably do without, you know, therapy and stuff if you don't have access to that, although I recommend getting therapy if you can. But yeah, anyway, I'm gonna say goodbye. I hope you all are having a great week. I don't know when this episode will come out, but yeah, definitely get in touch if you have any questions or want to talk about something. I love getting messages from you guys. I am currently on a break from the Instagram at the moment just because I've been so busy with studying, but hopefully I will be back on there soon, and I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, hope you're all doing well.